thank you for listening to this episode of the Bills Wire Daily Podcast. I am your host, Jeremy Juhas. We are going to review last Sunday's matchup with the Cincinnati Bengals. I've got managing editor Nick Wotan joining me here in a moment. First, I want to remind everybody that they can subscribe to our podcast on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and you can also find us on Stitcher. We are all over the web. Make sure you also head over to Bills Wire. The website will keep you updated and locked on all of the latest information about the team. Joining me now is Nick Wotan, managing editor of Bills Wire, who's crushing it as our managing editor over there. Hey, Nick, how you doing?
What's up, Jeremy?
What's going on? How's it going?
Oh, good. We have plenty of interesting topics to talk about after that game on Sunday.
I want to start with Corey Coleman. What a bust. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I'm really glad they gave away what they gave away, because this is turning out to be a terrible fit, it seems like.
Yeah, I don't know what they're – I don't know if they're bringing him along that slowly or what, but I had to put him in my – him and Nick O'Leary, I put him in my arrow down section of my stock up, yep. Stock down. And, man, the guy had two – did nothing, no yards, nothing happened for him, and I don't know. I don't know if they're just bringing him along and they guaranteed him a spot or what, but he's just been non-existent.
It's concerning. I think probably the most concerning thing for a lot of people, and you wrote about this too, is the offensive line in depth. Yeah, they looked horrible. Vlad Dukas in particular on some plays. It was not easy for Josh Allen in the pocket at all, and even in the second half with Peterman as well. I don't want to overreact though to it that much, just because I know the Bengals have a really good front, and you did note that too in your article that you all can check out, the Stock Up Stock Down, following the Bills loss versus the Bengals on Bills Wire. But it was just the fact that they, after week, first preseason game, week one, I guess, of the year, they looked fine, and the last 2 weeks have been shaky at best.
Yeah, I don't know if the Panthers' defense just isn't what it used to be. I know their secondary isn't exactly the most stout unit in the league, but comparatively, the front seven of the Browns and Bengals just look, I don't know, hopefully, I kind of made a snarky comment in my Stock Up, Stock Down, hopefully it's just teams from Ohio that the Bills are struggling against or something, but right. It didn't look good. I mean, Vlad Dukas got physically picked up and pushed backwards into Josh Allen by Geno Atkins, which is not ideal.
Our own Kevin Massari talked about, he thinks, Wyatt Teller will be in there probably by, week three or four. I forgot exactly what his tweet was. I don't want to quote him exactly, but just – if he continues to play that way, Dukas, that is, he's going to see himself on the sideline or cut. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't good.
Yeah, actually, PFF had an interesting grade on Wyatt Teller from that game, Jeremy. I'm pulling it up right now. For Wyatt Teller, he had another strong game on 20 pass-blocking snaps. He has allowed zero pressures. And he had an 84.2 pass blocking grade. And he's only allowed one pressure overall in three preseason games. And, yeah, I don't know what they're waiting for. I guess you want to give, John Miller, he didn't look too great. He had a couple penalties, too. I don't know if you think Dukas will work out, whatever he's got to work out. But and I know you want to build that chemistry with the offensive line as well. They haven't been able to with the center rotation going on, but we'll see. I think our buddy Kevin's onto something is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, no, I think so too, because the way that, especially the guard and the interior play, because even Groy and we know Bodine has struggled too at times, but you kind of thought Groy could come in there and do some good things, and he didn't necessarily do a great job. I mean, no one really stood out and did great against this. It's this Bengals defense, but I also just want to caution, everybody too, because it is the preseason, that, it is just that, the preseason. So it's like, how do we really evaluate this offensive line? Like, can we draw conclusions? Can we, criticize them now? Are like we allowed to do that, or can we just say maybe they'll get it right by the time the Baltimore Ravens
game here? You can really hope right now, right? I mean, you're not going to find a good offensive lineman on the market randomly right now, I don't think. I mean, they're not going to get cut. So I don't know what you're looking if anyone's hoping the Bills to upgrade it. I mean, they have a lot of cap space coming up next season. It's going to be interesting to see if the Bills end up splurging on offensive linemen, or maybe they just hang on to some high draft picks and sort of rebuild it from the ground up. But it hasn't been good. I mean, it's just really the discrepancy too. When they looked, as we alluded to, Jeremy, they looked pretty decent against Carolina. They looked, like I said, pretty decent. When they've looked bad, they've looked real bad, like awful.
Yeah. It at times looked, they were just overmatched, like you said, with Dukas, just physically overmatched. And yeah, you can't have that, because, you know, it's one thing if, you know, there's some mental errors going on, but when you're just getting driven back into the lap of your quarterback, that's a problem. So,
Exactly. That's a problem. And when you're getting physically manhandled there, that's just, hopefully the blocking scheme maybe gets a little bit better or something when we go to the full thing here. But I don't know. My optimism is not high at this point.
So can we even, I guess, evaluate Josh Allen in this game? I know you kind of said too in the column, like, it's hard to give him a fair assessment based on the poor play in front of him.
I don't think so. I mean, and you know me, Jeremy, I've been kind of on the Nathan Peterman train here. I think that he should probably start, just based on he was even on Friday able to do a couple things, on Sunday. Cleveland game was on Friday. On Sunday, Peterman was still able to do some things. It was, of course, against some depth players. So I still think he's still worthy of the start, Peterman. But how do you judge Allen at all on that game? I mean, he was 6 of 12, and the decisions weren't even – he didn't have an opportunity to really make decisions, right? That's how I kind of read it.
No, for sure. But Nathan Peterman played, I guess, about as well as he could, given the fact of the offensive line situation the way it was, and then just the weapons not being able to be with the ones. We also need to remember that the Bills weren't able to start four of their starters. So, again, like, there is always that – I guess there's always that excuse of this is still the preseason, so it's really like hard to criticize, you know.
I just think Peterman's game too very much lines up with the offensive line struggles. I mean, he gets the ball out quick. He's decisive. Mm-hmm. He's a little worrisome when he makes those throws to the sideline. He doesn't exactly have the zip to put it on there, but I think that's just maybe even something that he's maybe improved upon from last year. We saw him get picked off a couple times in Los Angeles against the Chargers last year on a couple of those comeback routes along the sideline. And maybe that's just something he's kind of learned how his arm strength is. So don't put it in there unless it's for sure type thing for him. But just the quick release, I think, is really going to help this offensive line. And if anything, it'll just give them a little bit of a confidence booster before you get Josh Allen in there.
Yeah. Oh no. Oh my goodness. I just came across the new Bills mascot. I have not seen this until now. It's like, seriously, this is the first time I'm seeing this.
I don't know.
And it looks like a lion's face with horns. Yeah. You know, like,
doesn't look like it, great.
It doesn't look like a buffalo, and it's not intimidating at all. Maybe the kids will like it, but this is bad.
Yeah, I don't
right?
know.
Is it not good? Like, is this good? I don't.
It
looks like a Detroit Lion with horns.
And they didn't really even put too much respect on Billy Buffalo there, because, you know, they introduced him. I think the story is the first year of the drought is the first year Billy Buffalo came into existence. So really, it was his fault for all the whole drought. And then finally, they get in, and then what do? They just switch it up on him. They just give him a whole new facelift. He wasn't good enough. Like, what was that?
Yeah. This is interesting.
I don't get it.
I mean, I know we're behind a little bit on this. The game was Sunday, but I did not really take a close look, and now I'm seeing like a zoomed up photo, like a really nice clear photo from the Bills, and this is incredible. I'm gonna miss the original Billy the Buffalo, I think, for sure.
Yeah,
because this is not what I'm used to.
I think other than the fact that he, like, for some reason, the original guy had, like, now that we're getting to our mascot analytics here, that the original guy, like, I don't know if he was, like, the hunchback or what's going on.
Yeah.
But he had something going on up top there in the back. I think, you know, you just get the guy to the chiropractor a couple times a week, I think he would have been fine, right?
He would have been okay. Yeah, it would have, like, this just does not scream intimidation at all. And I don't think mascots, you know, in the NFL necessarily do that or go for that. They're definitely more for the kids and just marketing families and stuff like that. But
for sure, yeah.
It's just the face is wide-eyed. At least he's smiling, but this looks like a lion's face to me.
He's smiling. Horns. He looks like he's smiling like, I don't know, like, oh, here we go again.
Right, like,
like waiting for the Bills to do the Bills.
Even with the, if like the, that's right, like with the raised eyebrows and just like the way he's just staring, it's like, yeah. Oh no, like something bad just happened.
Yeah.
Like, so that is okay. Well, yeah. No, I didn't know that was happening, but.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, what's
we had that on BillsWire.com, folks. Don't worry.
Well, let's talk about, I guess, some of the good things that came out of the game. Jason Kroom had a great game, I thought, at the tight end position, obviously with a touchdown.
Yeah.
You also highlighted a couple other players in your stock up. So who else did you have there that at least we can highlight and not make this all a demoralizing conversation?
Yeah. I mean, I highlighted Nathan Peterman again just because, I mean, what has the guy done to lose the job? And, I mean, even though he's playing backups, he should play good against backups, and he did play good against backups. I mean, Sean McDermott said that himself. At this point, if Nathan Peterman isn't named the starting quarterback, then the guy who won the competition did not get named the starting quarterback. They just went with Josh Allen because they wanted to go with Josh Allen. That's how I'm sort of reading into it myself. Yeah, he had 200 yards, 16 for 21, and a touchdown. I mean, what more do you want from the guy? His numbers are fantastic. Hey, I mean, you mentioned Jason Kroom, too. And hats off to the run defense, actually. I mean, the Bills got torched through the air. They held the Bengals to 2.5 yards per carry after the Cleveland Browns was absolutely slashed and gashed the Browns, or the Bills, last week. They did not look good in the ground. But you're going to want to fix the secondary a little bit there, and I think we'll probably end up flipping over the stock down after this. And Vontae Davis not going in the right direction as the regular season approaches, Jeremy.
No, I'm concerned about that for sure, because we had talked about this earlier and it was a little bit of a concern of mine because everyone just seems to think that the secondary is locked in, going to be a sure thing for this team. And the opposite of Tre'Davious White was a concern for me. The nickel cornerback was a little bit of a concern for me. And just keeping Poyer and Hyde playing at such a high level, I don't know if they can maintain that. I hope they can, but I'm not sure if they're that caliber of players. And maybe they have elevated their game to that point, but just 1 year, I don't want to just anoint them, you know, all pro safeties all of a sudden. So suddenly, like, the secondary becomes kind of in question. And then Davis coming off the injury, his age, and just the poor tackle he made earlier this preseason, and now you know, guys running by him, you know, John Ross just making him look silly this weekend. So I'm a little concerned there. I don't know if Philip Gaines is someone that they want to just plug into the outside because he's long and rangy and McDermott likes that, and then he could still have Taron Johnson be the nickel corner. But what do you think? Is that somewhere that you think Brandon Bean can maybe look out on the waiver wire from other teams cutting guys and maybe scoop up somebody, or just kind of hopefully Davis can write his own ship here?
I think it's either going to be Davis or someone behind him. Maybe Gaines is the first man up at this point. Maybe Wallace can show something because I know he has some good size and ability there. Other than that, I would expect – I think it's going to be tough to find a starter at this point. I think they're just going to have to hope that Vontae Davis turns it around. He did kind of respond a little bit there later on in the game because he got benched, and then he did go back in the game, Jeremy, later on, playing with the reserve players, third, fourth quarter, somewhere in there. He had a nice pass breakup in the end zone, and I made note of it, but it was also notable that he was even in the game at that point, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, for me, it was always about his injury. You know, how was he going to get up to game speed, NFL speed, and for the first time playing in, you know,
as long as he's been out. I'm always worried about guys being able to get back to where they were. And so if he can still kind of make plays, whether that's in the second half, first half, but still get out there, run around, and not show any ill effects of the injury, that's it for me. And then on top of that, it's just the mental reps, right? Just trying to make sure that you know what you're doing. It's probably a little bit of a new defensive scheme for him. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt because maybe, you know, by week one, he'll be a little bit more acclimated, and then maybe further along into the season, he just picks it up. But, yeah, it was just a little concerning. But like I said, from the beginning, we're kind of nitpicking at a lot of stuff, being that it's the preseason right now. But I don't know if it's super concerning at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I think he's going to probably be back in there at this point come opening day. But having said that, really, you haven't really – a lot of folks were saying before the season started, Jeremy, and I kind of told him to pump the brakes a little bit, that, you know, they just kind of assumed that the Bills' defense was going to be great. And over the Bills added all these pieces to their defense, they're going to be great. Now it's like, well, you know, I wrote in a couple of our articles on Bills Wire that, you know, just because you shell out the money for Starr and Trent Murphy and Vontae Davis, doesn't mean it's going to work. You know, the money doesn't always work. There's a reason why the Bills have kind of, you know, tried to pull away from spending so much money in free agency, because, you know, we have plenty of guys going down the list that have just not worked out. So, but as you alluded to, Jeremy, it's not, you know, the end of the world here. It's only the preseason, but it is a little bit concerning at how much better the Bengals. Really a middling team, I guess you could probably say, for the last forever, it just seems, with them. Really just handed it to the Bills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're definitely not the Steelers or, you know, the Patriots or, you know, even a Green Bay.
Pretty good. I'll give them that.
Yeah, and, you know, we've had Joe Goodberry on, and he said just as much of John Ross has just been, you know, lights out in camp and is showing that he could be a huge playmaker this year. So if anyone has him on their fantasy roster, they should probably be stoked about that.
Yeah, I got my draft tomorrow.
Yes, all the drafts are literally just popping right now because it's just that time. It's just that time. We're so close.
Yeah, I got
I'm
just excited to hit mine tomorrow, Jeremy. I got him in two leagues so far this year, maybe three if we get the Bills Wire one going.
Yeah, that'll be fun. We have – it's so funny, right, because – like 3 weeks ago, I was in zero leagues, and then like four leagues just cropped up. Like, hey, you want to join? Want to do this? And it's just like last minute, everybody wants to do one. So, I went from zero to four in a matter of like 10 days. Yeah, it's pretty nuts, but it'll be fun. I also want to give kudos to Bills fans on their warm reception of Andy Dalton for this game. That was a really cool thing. Even if it was a preseason game, they kind of held him back and brought him out last. And I don't know if you saw it live or what kind of your reaction was from it, seeing it afterward, but I just thought, like, Bills fans should deserve, like, a pat on the back for just the whole story itself. I mean, ever since, you know, Andy Dalton put the Bills in the playoffs, it's just been a great story. yeah, just everyone, you know, pitching in to donate to great charities, great causes, and just shows how sports and humanity, like, brings people together for good, and that was just... Like I said, kudos to Bills fans for that. Kudos to the Bills for, kind of, like I said, holding him back a little bit before he came out. And just what was your reaction to it or what you thought if you saw that live?
Yeah, no, I mean, it was certainly kind of expected, I think. We ran a poll earlier last week on Bills Wire, Jeremy, which I'm sure you saw, just kind of getting what the expectations were, what fans would do. Dalton, would you cheer him? Would you not cheer him? He has kind of owned the Bills a little bit in his career. I think he's 4-1 against the Bills. But the overwhelming, you know, sentiment was maybe the Buffalo Bills themselves took a look at Bills Wire and saw that folks overwhelmingly, I think it was about 91% of people said that they would cheer for Andy Dalton if they were in the stadium on Sunday. And you know, I'm sure plenty of them did vote in that poll and proved that they did, because that was quite an incredible moment. And Dalton himself even kind of gave some kudos to the NFL schedule makers, because he kind of said after the game, he was like, yeah, you know, it's a good thing that this is a preseason game, because I think it would have been a little bit differently if it was in the regular season, you know, which is a good point. And it was certainly handled well by the Bills, kind of the way Dalton described it after the game. We have his reaction to it on BillsWire.com now. Dalton kind of was just going to go out of the tunnel with the rest of his teammates and was just like, someone came up to him and said, "Hey, wait here a second." And then they brought him. So that's sort of how it went. So very cool by the Bills to kind of set it up, to tee one up for the fans to really make the community look well.
Yeah, it was definitely cool. Also, Sean McDermott hasn't named a starting quarterback. We'll be kind of keeping track of that for sure throughout this week and next week to see when the starter for week one is named. And lastly, before we go, Nick, I really liked the all whites the Bills play. I just think they're fresh and clean. I love it when the Bills wear all whites. I do think, though, their best look is white top and blue pant, but it was nice to just see them in all whites. I think that's just like a clean, fresh look for them.
I'm a fan. Yeah. Sure.
You don't get to see it a lot, you know. You don't see white on white a ton, but it was cool.
Yeah, don't think Bengals have an all black uniform too. They should have went all black against Bills or something crazy like that. Or they probably have some bright orange color rush uniform going on. But yeah, no, I think I like the all whites better than the white and blue pants though.
Do you? I'm
trying to think about it. I'm like looking at a picture of Nathan Peterman throwing a pass to who I think is Jason Kroom over the middle of the field right now, and the all whites are flashing. They pop real well off of
the black of the Bengals.
The black of the Bengals, but also just there's a lot of blue in the stadium. So behind,
yes,
it makes
and the seats are all blue, right?
Yes, yeah. So a lot, some empty. I was gonna say I don't think during the regular season there'll be that many empty seats behind them, but just in general around them, there's just a lot of blue. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even the kind of padding wall like that surrounds the stadium at the, on the bottom, okay, that's all blue as well. Yeah, so you're good there. For sure. I don't know. You don't see them a whole lot. And I think their road uniforms are better than their home. But unfortunately, we get stuck with whatever they're wearing. And if it's the standing Buffalo for classic, you know, throwback stuff, that's always cool.
I also like their color rush red ones, too. I mean, I think the Bills kind of nailed the color rush ones. They do kind of look like the Patriots red uniform. I'll give people that when they make that criticism, but whatever. Mm-hmm. The Bills were good in the 90s, and the Patriots sucked, so we were allowed to wear red, too.
Yep. So other things to watch for this week that we should be keeping an eye on, Nick, other than the quarterback announcement or maybe not announcement? Anything else of note? When are cuts? We should be getting cuts soon.
Yeah, Thursday is going to be your – I don't know. They haven't named a starter for Thursday or opening day. Today, Sean McDermott didn't take out playing all three quarterbacks again on Thursday. I mean, who knows what's going to happen. I think we'll probably find out maybe tomorrow or the next day. I'm not too sure the media schedule offhand, but I didn't expect McDermott to name the quarterback today, but I think going forward he's got to do it pretty soon. The cut date, I believe, is Saturday at 4 p.m., so stay on top of that with Bills Wire, too. We'll, of course, be all over that when the Bills decide to move on from some players, and Thursday's certainly going to be a key game. Guys like, you know, Brandon Riley only had one catch in that game. What's going to happen? Leary, he kind of went quiet after a big game 2 weeks ago, so fourth preseason game, you kind of want the quarterback. You're kind of tired of hearing about the quarterbacks. Just name a starter already, but there's still a lot to be determined.
Yeah, and AJ McCarron is back. We should say that too. Like he's back in the rotation. I think he's fully ready to go. So we kind of forgot about him, but he's also in there now in the mix again.
Yeah, if you guys want, head over to BillsWire.com now and scroll down on our homepage. Didn't put it in the. Actually, I think I might have put it on the top of the website. Now, you know what? I'll do it right now for you guys. There's a video of AJ McCarron just kind of comparing in my two videos on in a story. McCarron late last week could barely flick his wrist and throw the football, and now all of a sudden he's turned around and he looks pretty well. So that's good to see. I think he's still in probably third out of three place here between the guys. But you never want to see someone if he's going to lose it, you'd rather have him lose it healthy, right?
Right. Yeah. Have it be fair across the board, but this is kind of a little bit of a war of attrition and a little bit of a part of just being, you know, on an NFL roster, it's just surviving being injured, unfortunately. Injuries just come into play so often. So,
exactly.
But, yeah, we'll catch up with you probably later in the week and definitely Thursday. Make sure you keep it locked to Bills Wire for the fourth and final preseason game. A lot of the depth roles are still yet to be determined. So And could play key roles, especially later in the season when, as we just aforementioned, injuries creep in. So, still maybe not as an important game for most fans because it is the one that people don't really care about all that often because the starters aren't in, but there is still a lot of depth and still a lot of things to be ironed out here for the Bills. So keep it locked to Bills Wire. Nick, thanks for joining me.
Definitely, Jeremy. We'll talk again later this week, and tune to Bills Wire for a lot of breaking news coming up this week between roster cuts and a quarterback decision. We'll be all over it for you guys.
Sounds good. Talk to you soon, Nick.